guys. Want to play a game?
No.
Come on.
Again?
You can't be serious.
All right. Well, what do you want to do? Welcome to Bored with Friends, the podcast about, well, anything really. I'm Zach Dyer, and on today's episode, I'm joined by Sean Bissonnette.
That's me, Zach. I'm here, and I'm ready to rock and roll. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic.
It's just the two of us.
Yeah, it's. I feel like this is probably the first time it's ever been just the two of us making sandcastles in the sky.
Yeah, thinking back on our Bored with Friends Prime, as you've decided to coin it, it's never been just the two of us reviewing anything. But today's episode, this is Bored with Friends, B-O-R-E-D, the show about anything, as I said, and more of a book club style show. And today's topic is Sean's turn to pick, and he has... I guess as punishment for me picking Transformers last month, has decided to choose role-playing games, something I've never been super keen on in the past, but fair is fair. I agreed to do it, and we'll see how that worked out. Sean, tell us about role-playing games.
Sure. So for my role-playing game of choice, we played Dungeons & Dragons. So the first session we did, it was the two of us. Joe, who is a friend of mine from college, he hasn't been on any of the Bored with Friends shows, but I'll get to him in a minute. Devin and his sister Dale. So the five of us hung out. We played Dungeons and Dragons for a couple of hours, and then we had an online session a week or two after that. And that's kind of the basis of this episode of this podcast. Overall, I would say it went pretty well, because now we have a third show in our little third/second show in our little organization here. But I'm actually more interested to find out, you don't like RPGs, Zach, or you haven't in the past. So before I kind of go into why I wanted to do it, just like a brief overview, how did it make you feel?
How did this make me feel? Like this experience?
Yes.
It was definitely more positive than I've had in the past. I've told the story before on our regular show, Bored with Friends, why I don't really find RPGs fun. I didn't have a good experience the first time I tried it. But this experience, I feel, because I wasn't the only person who didn't know what I was doing, I guess I felt more comfortable and more... open to trying new things. Plus, you had introduced me to a few other podcasts who also, perform RPGs, and I had also been listening to a few on my own that talk about the subject, and it became a little bit more interesting. I get to learn, like, okay, I can do a lot with it, and I always enjoyed the aspect of character creation. That was fun. But this experience, I would say, was a more positive experience than previous endeavors.
Okay, cool. Well, that's good. So, I mean, where I kind of got the inspiration to want to do this is from a couple of things. So I used to live with my brother and two of his roommates from college. We all lived in a big house. And my brother wanted to start playing D&D. He bought the Player's Handbook and a couple of the other books and started reading up on it to get ready for us to play. But that never really happened. The only time that we actually ever played, one of our roommates' frat brothers DM'd a game where the entire 3.5 hours we played was a drinking game, followed by us trying to kill one rat, and it didn't work because the drunker we were, the number of drinks we had would get subtracted by whatever we rolled, so we never actually got to hit the rat. So it took us about 3.5-4 hours to do that.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
No, but like it was fun, but wasn't fun. Like it was frustrating, but at the same time, there was something about it that was just like it was comical, because it would be like, "All right, you missed. Describe how and why you missed." So, and I was a monk, so I was just basically shadow boxing like around the rat instead of actually hitting it. I was like doing it on purpose, just practicing. So it was interesting to say the least. But the next thing that got me to want to try it, I'm a big fan of Kind of Funny. They do a lot of video game stuff, but they also do a normal topical podcast where each person picks a different topic. And a couple of years ago, they had Critical Role guest star on it. So it was, I think, four or five of the people from Critical Role, along with the four people from Kind of Funny. So there was 9 or 10 people all playing this kind of one-shot campaign. And it was really funny because you had these people who were essentially like comedians playing with these very serious role-playing people. So that was another thing that I saw. I was like, ooh, I'd like to do this. And then the final kind of like nail in the coffin, as it were, was a podcast called The Adventure Zone, which I turned you on to, Zach, which I'm sure you are very happy slash sad I did that, because you haven't listened to many other podcasts since starting that.
It did kind of kill my listening schedule, yes.
It sucks you in. It does. But it's these three brothers, the McElroys. They have an advice podcast that I've been listening to for a long time. But the three of them and their dad have just do this long, like 3-year homebrew campaign. And it's funny and it's like emotional. And I was just kind of like, oh, man, like this started off as the four of them goofing off. And it's probably my favorite podcast, like, period. And I never would have thought that. So when we were coming up with ideas to do more shows, if I could make something like 1/5 as good as any of those things, then we should try it. And you and Devin were skeptical, so I made this kind of our test to see if we would want to do it. And I'm happy that I was right, kind of.
Spoilers.
So that's where. So that's where I kind of got inspiration to try this. So yeah, that was that. So we had our one shot, which is now a prequel, kind of campaign, because we recorded it. So yeah, that's where I got the inspiration for that.
And if anyone wants to hear that prequel campaign, you can check out our other show, Critical Failure, which is the name of the RPG podcast. So spoilers, we kept playing.
Yeah, right. Spoiler alert, it's a show now. It's soundcloud.com/CritFailureCast, or, you know, Twitter CritFailureCast, on all the internets is CritFailureCast. So it's on, you know, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, essentially on everything. So just look for Critical Failure Podcast or Critical Failure D&D and you'll find it. But I never thought that I could, like, write a story, even like the bullet points I'm writing now, and like coming up with all these different people I have to pretend to be. It's really, really cool. And I like DMing a lot. I was skeptical about whether or not I would, but yes, I mean, all of us are noobs. So I figured it would be difficult, but I'm having a great time. So that's kind of,
I have a question for you. I mean, I've never DM'd. The only time I tried an RPG, I was just, you know, a player. And same thing now, I'm just one of the players. But the DM role, it fascinates me because you are building this whole world. So you always tell me, like, oh, I'm writing the next leg, or I'm doing the next thing. Are you actually writing a script? Or are you just, you know, writing an outline of, like, okay, if the player A says he's going to do this, but then I'll take him over here. If they say they're going to do this action, then I'll take him over here. Like, how involved is it for you?
So before we did our first 2 episodes, or first 3 episodes, whatever it was, that first night when we all played together, I just wrote down, like, I don't know, maybe like a page worth of bullet points to try to hit. And I found that wasn't enough, because then when I wrote down, like, okay, cool. So, you know, you guys are in a spoiler alert, because the episode came out last month. It was a bar fight, because every RPG has to start with a bar fight. And I was also inspired by that one and only time I had actually played D&D.
I mean, is it written that we have to start with a bar fight?
I mean, I feel like you need to start with a bar fight. I mean, I really can't think of anything else. A bar fight or your village getting burnt down. I feel like those are the two things that happen in all heroes' journeys. So, yeah, for the most part, at least. I had written down a couple of bullet points, like, all right, cool. So they're going to walk into the bar. They're going to meet Pi. They're going to ask him questions, and these are the types of things that he might say. But then you guys didn't ask him any questions. And I was like, okay, shit, well, what do I do now? Oops, sorry. And then I was like, okay, cool. You know, and then I wrote down, I give like a description for all the other patrons at the bar all sitting at the table. And I'm like, all right, cool. You guys are at the table. Like, what do you want to do? And I expected you guys to try to talk to the other people at the table. And then you didn't. So I was like, well, crap. Like, what am I supposed to do? They're not doing any of the things I want them to do. And that's essentially how the entirety of the first two episodes went, was me like prodding you guys to do investigation checks and stuff like that. And none of it ever happened. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is horrible. Like, this isn't going at all like what I planned. So for the second leg of it, so the second two episodes, I literally wrote a script. And it kind of, it like very light choose your own adventures, but I essentially wrote a script. Like, you're gonna go through this city, you're gonna go inside this bar, you're gonna look for stuff, and when you find it, this is what's gonna happen. And then when we got to the boss fight at the end, that got completely thrown out the window when you decided to be Chuck Finley, sewer maintenance man, and I had to come up with George, which wasn't supposed to be a character at all. So it was this whole thing. And on top of that, I just remembered you guys were just BSing around instead of listening. Like, I had written a speech that I was gonna read. Like, I'd written like a page long speech that I was gonna read as this kobold leader, and you guys weren't paying attention to what I wanted to do. So I was like, you know what? They don't get the speech now, so they're not going to know what they're supposed to do. Which worked out for what you guys ended up doing. And I thought it was way funnier when it went off the rails. So when it's come to what I have for some of the content for the next, what's going to equate to the next couple of months that we do, it's a very, very broad outline. So think about it kind of like if you've ever played them, and I don't know if you have, Zach. Have you ever played a Telltale game, like the video games?
Yeah, I have played those, actually. I touched on the Monkey Island ones. I think those are Telltale.
The older ones. Okay, sweet. So, I played Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead and Tales from the Borderlands, which I think is like the funniest game ever. I know the games aren't necessarily supposed to be funny, but the humor in that Borderlands game is ridiculous. And Batman, now they have a Batman one, which is great. But I kind of like, all right, cool. So you're going to have player choice, and I'm going to put you in this situation, and it's going to look like you can do 2 to 5 things. And I have a general idea of what I'm going to do if you do one of those things. But at the end of the day, you're going to get to this point. How you get there and maybe how well off the world is, I'll have to edit that on the fly, but there are major story beats you're getting to. It's just how you're going to affect the world around you to get to those story beats. And me trying to do my best not to railroad you, because I don't want to railroad you, but there are certain things that do have to happen. So it's like for this arc that we're starting on Friday, it's like a 2-page outline that I wrote. But then the next two that I have outlines for, which will have to get edited based on how all the previous stuff goes, are each like 5 or 6 pages long of just bullet points and like maps. That's not literally maps, but like if they did this, then that means that this is going to happen. If they did this, then this stuff's going to happen. So I'm just doing my best to like write an outline. And then when I'm making a character, I'm writing down what kind of person that is, but I'm not writing any dialogue. So I'm trying to do it more on the fly. So like, I have well-established characters and I have an end goal, but I don't know how I'm going to get there yet. So that's, I don't know if I answered the question or not. I'm rambling a lot.
It's okay. I mean, to me, I have a newfound respect for the level of improvisation you had to show, because like you told me after that session when, I did the whole Chuck Finley thing, I mean, I didn't know, none of us knew what you had planned, but we have to come up with something. So the fact that you have to try to anticipate what, 3, 4, 5 other people are going to come up with, what is their reaction to this? What is their solution to the problem? When you don't have a definite solution most of the time, I think that's pretty fascinating, actually. And for the most part, at least when we started the first session, when I could see you across the table, I could tell when we were derailing you. Over the computer, it was a little bit harder, but when you would make up for it. So it felt like you knew what you were doing. If that makes you feel better, when I did do the whole Chuck Finley thing.
Well, no, it's what it so something that I've been trying to do. There's the website where we get all of our digital stuff. D&D Beyond Dungeon, is that what it's called? Yeah, D&D yes. Beyond. They have a YouTube series where they interview different people, including people like DM advice kind of stuff. And then Matthew Mercer, the Critical Role DM, he also used to have a DM advice series on the Nerdist YouTube page. There's another, I can't remember her name right now, another woman took over, and then they're a lot longer, more interview style stuff, but his were more like short and to the point. And there's another YouTube page called Web DM, where it's just these two guys. I'm not a supporter on Patreon right now, but I'm thinking about it, where they just go over stuff. So it's just, I watched like all those like DM advice videos, and it's just, whenever possible, don't say no. Like, if they want to do something, figure out a way to do it. So that's why when
I believe
you
that's
guys,
the basic rule of improv, like always, yeah. Always yes and, right?
Yeah, no, that that's also true. So it's like, to the best of my ability, like, I know that I need to get over here. So, I mean, it without going into too many spoilers, so the town at the end of that first arc that we did in our little test play session, that town was, what was going to happen there needed to happen no matter what. It was just how it was going to happen. So when everything got completely derailed and there was that whole improv scene, and then you guys beat the boss, and then there was like nowhere for me to go, I needed to have Juan Sanchez there to make sure that what needed to happen was going to happen, and then it just happened. So I could still get to the next story. So I could get to the actual story. Because if you guys just solved the problem and then that was it, the rest of the show wouldn't have happened, and I needed that to happen. So it's yeah. So I'm going to give more freedom as we go on, but I do need some stuff to stay the way it's planned.
I think the best sandbox games, because that's what D&D essentially is, like,
yeah,
they do have a story that has to progress, and you are running that story. So the best sandbox games just hide it and make it look like it's all improvised. So if you can give us the illusion that our choices are, you know, and at least to a certain degree, you know, letting us, you know, manipulate the story, I think that's pretty successful. If you are just straightforward railroading us and like, okay, you finished that, now you're going to move on to this, like, and we have no choice, that's not as successful. And for the most part, so far, I think you've been doing a pretty good job with it. I mean, I wouldn't continue playing if you weren't, so.
No, I appreciate that. To that kind of, obviously, it was a lot more, I would say it's more difficult than I thought. It was different than what I thought. So obviously, you know, you had a overall relatively positive impression with it. I obviously, when I started writing more stuff, I started getting ideas for completely different stories. So I was like, oh man, like I told you, I had a space idea. I'm like, how come I didn't think of this space idea faster? It was basically, you know, like taking like Guardians of the Galaxy and Mass Effect and Firefly and kind of meshing them all into one thingy. Very, very professional, very eloquent, whatever, doesn't matter. And then I had another idea where it was kind of like, I don't think you've ever played Dragon Age. If Joe was on the show, he'd be, you know, very excited right now. But the way that they treat like magic users in that universe, it's like very, like they're like afraid of you and like lock you up and stuff. I had kind of like taking that and Fable and like making like some kind of universe like with that. So I was like, oh, so I have all these other ideas now that have nothing to do with the idea that I have. So that I have like all these different notes going now. So it was really cool to like have all these random ideas kind of pop into your head and being able to write them down and hopefully do them someday.
This might make you feel better, but I've been finding with like, periodically I will get flashes of like, oh, this would be a cool D&D campaign, or oh, this would be fun to play. Oh, I can't wait to do this to him to, you know, mess with him in the campaign, or have my character do this, or I'll say something in a completely separate aspect of, you know, my life, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm using that line later. Like, I'm going to do that. You know, that was fun. And I've been researching other, you know, systems and like just dabbling as well. I haven't done nearly as much research as you've done, apparently. There's no way I feel ready to go beyond what I'm doing right now with this. But I, you know, I've reached out to, or been reached out to by, like our friends at Spyglass Games. They were letting us know about their new RPG system for the Venom Assault universe. And I'm like, ooh, that would be fun to do later on. Like, I'm excited to see what happens next and where we're going to take this.
No, for sure. Like and you know, this will go beyond, I don't know what I'm going to call this whole story yet, but like go beyond it. And it's just like, you know, Bored with Friends Prime has been going on for, this is year three.
Happy anniversary!
Yeah, right? Hey, happy anniversary, everybody. But there's no reason why all this stuff can't keep on going on. So, you know, other people GM or DM, or, you know, we move on to just a different setting or some combination, all that stuff. But that's, I'm super excited, and it's weird how like I've tried to do a lot of podcasts, and I've been on probably like half of the Board with Friends, but with between this and Critical Failure, like I'm more excited about getting onto Discord or Skype or whatever and talk about stuff than I've been ever. And I've tried to do a lot of podcasts, or have been part of several of them, so this is super exciting, and like I'm having a lot of fun.
So what you're saying is 3 years ago when I asked you to be on a board game discussion podcast, it was a good thing.
Yes, of course. It was a great thing. Yeah, it was a fantastic thing. But I guess to kind of touch on, I suppose, a few things with the show, which I am definitely going to add into the episode that would have come out last week. But in case you guys are listening to this before you listen to any of Critical Failure, which, you know, obviously there are significantly more people who are more likely to listen to this before they listen to the show that came out 4 weeks ago. Devin, Dale, Joe, Zach, and I started it. The first four episodes are the four of them and me taking through them. Zach is sticking around, obviously. We've already talked about that. Joe, he's having fun. He wants to stick around. He likes being Reaper, which is, I'm going to make fun of him for picking that name. I'm not going to make fun of you for Steeljaw, because narratively it makes sense. Reaper doesn't make any damn sense. That name doesn't make any sense. I'm going to tease Joe about that for the next 5 years, if this is how long this campaign goes for. I'm going to find a way to do it. And I have a great way to do it that's going to come out on Friday. Joe had fun. Devin and Dale opted out of continuing to play for different reasons. I mean, Dale was a little bit more blunt with it. She said that she didn't have a lot of fun. It wasn't really her thing, and that's fine. Devin had similar opinions. You know, RPGs, you came around and wanted to continue doing it. He didn't have that same feeling. He still had the same feelings that he had about it beforehand. And, you know, and maybe in a later episode he'll talk about that, but he's not talking about that right now.
I think it was more, he had fun with the improv, and I'm speaking for him, obviously. He could listen to this and say, hey, you're 100% wrong. But the feeling I get about his experience was he had fun with the improvisation of it. Like, his character, Ansel, like, he put a lot of thought into that, and I thought it was very funny. You know, the well-spoken barbarian, it was, you know, fantastic. I feel like the mechanics were too restrictive for him, which is hard to comprehend in the idea of a role-playing game. But this would get into, like, my frustration, and I guess this is what happened with your first experience, is, you know, sometimes you don't get to do what you want to do. And sometimes that can happen multiple times in a row, and it gets a little frustrating because you're at the mercy of the dice. You know, if I say I want to take this pie and throw it in, you know, somebody's face, and then I roll and I get a 2, and it's okay, that didn't happen. And then, you know, it just keeps going on and on and on. I think one of the sessions that we did, I mean, it took a really long time to kill like the last guy, and it was just a little frustrating. Everybody was getting a little bit tired, and I guess that's a reflection of real life. Like, you know, mistakes happen, so you know it can go that way. But sometimes you just want to get the story going and move on to the next bit. You know.
Yeah, no, for sure, and there, that last, and actually. I edited that part out because it was after you guys had already beaten the boss, and like to take down like the last like two minions took like another 20 minutes, and Devin missed like 8 times in a row, and I felt bad because he kept rolling like tens or he needed to roll better than a 12 because if with his modifier he would have done it, and he never hit the thing. He kept swinging and he kept missing, and I'm like, ugh, like I feel bad now. But yeah, I liked Ansel. Like it was a great character. It had a lot of potential for it. But that being said, a bigger reason as to why, how do I say this without spoiling anything? But yeah, there was a reason why that went the way that it did. And then the fact that there were some people, the fact that Devin and Dale didn't want to be on the show anymore, as you know, as upset that I was that they couldn't be a part of it anymore, didn't want to be a part of it anymore. It actually kind of helped the narrative to have somebody join the party who wasn't there and have some of the people you were with gone, because it's going to make something that's going to not pay off for probably 6 months make more sense.
Oh. Well, listeners, hope you stay with the Critical Failure for at least 6 months to find out what happens.
That's an arbitrary number. I don't know when it'll be. It'll be at some point when it's deemed necessary for me to bring it up. But I don't think it'll be for, at least for a while, because I have started to write like dropping hints, but depending on how impatient you guys get with all the other characters, I guess it'll dictate when that actually happens.
I would say we had a fun experience with it, at least most of us, and that's why we're continuing it. What I wanted to touch on the whole D&D Beyond thing and character creation. Like that was I didn't the first time I tried an RPG, I didn't do it that way. I was literally given a piece of paper and just told to write down stats and stuff like that. The part I had fun was like the naming and picking abilities, and that goes true for now too. This app that you had us, you know, working with, or this website, whatever it is, it's quite cool actually. So for new players, I would suggest doing this because it gives you all the information you need, and you can read up on every single class. You can read up on what capabilities you have. This is a really neat website. I mean, for if you're going to use the actual Dungeons & Dragons system, I guess. It's kind of a cheat sheet.
Yeah, so I was trying to find... because the first time, yeah, I got handed the player's handbook, and I got handed a piece of paper, and it was like, all right, cool, you have an hour, figure this out. And I had never played anything before. I had never read anything before. So I was trying to find initially an app on either iOS or Android that would just have the information and make it easy to do. And there was an app on iOS that was relatively easy to use, but it was just on iOS and it was kind of limited with what it had. And it wouldn't tell me if what I was picking was wrong. So it was like, okay, cool. Do A, B, C, and D, but there's nothing preventing me from doing, you know, X, Y, and Z. So then I went on PC and I just started looking random stuff up, and then I found D&D Beyond. So like they're affiliated at least in some way with Wizards of the Coast. Well, basically you can digitally buy the books, or not buy them. You get the some of the player's handbook stuff for free, and you get basically like two of the archetypes for each class included with that for free as well. But like if you want to buy the books, it has all the digital stuff right there. So it's like, cool, you're making a character, what race do you want? And you have your race. Cool. Now step two is do this. Step three is do this. And it streamlines the whole thing. So if you had never played before, it makes it super easy to work with, which was great. So it makes it significantly easier to get everything all set up. The rules are a lot more straightforward. The character class breakdowns, while they're probably just taken right out of the player's handbook, it being able to like click on something on your computer and jumping right to that part of the index or that part of the page just made the whole thing much, much easier to swallow. So Anybody who's thinking about playing and being serious about it, I would wholeheartedly recommend, at the very least, purchasing the player's handbook from them digitally. The other thing you can do, this part's a little bit more in a little bit more involved, but there is a subscription-based system where if I forgot what it was, but basically, if you're the DM, you can share your digital tools with everybody who's playing in your campaign. So because I purchased most of the books, I can share them with whoever's in my campaign. So I can have up to, I think, like either three or five campaigns going at a time. And I can share it with up to, I think, eight people in each campaign. Oh, sorry, up to three campaigns with 12 players in each. So I can share all of my resources with essentially up to 36 people.
You can also go and edit characters in case we can't figure something out, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It makes the whole thing much easier to deal with and much easier to work with. And it's a great tool for anybody who's, you know, super serious about doing this stuff.
Well, it really is. I mean, from a player perspective, I was having fun with it because, like, I can just have this up on my tablet. We're playing the game, and like, oh, you hit me for three, okay, I can change my hit points. Oh, okay, I can look up all my modifiers. I can look up all the spells on here. I can look up just little information. And when I'm not, like, an active player, I can be reading stuff and getting ideas while I'm doing it. And I think it's a little bit smoother than using a book, quite honestly. Like, if you had handed me a player's guide and it was just a huge book and I'm trying to, like, look stuff up and find things, this is all right in front of me on one page, and I just open up some drop-down menus, and I can see everything. That's just the way my brain works, though, and when I'm looking at this, I find it simpler.
No, it is. So, like, I'm looking at one of the NPCs I made. I did, because since I don't get to be any characters, I made character sheets for all the notable NPCs. So it's like, if you have a spell, and so I'm looking at a warlock I made, so there's blast, I get plus 9 to hit, so whatever I roll, I know I'm adding plus 9. And then it tells you, instead of, you know, damage being 1d8, which is what the player handbook, it would say 1d8 plus your spell plus your charisma modifier is going to be your damage. Oh, you're on 10, that means you can shoot two beams instead of one beam and blah blah blah. But this one is just, it breaks it all down for you. So to hit, plus 9 damage, 1d10 plus 5 total beams, 2, so which means I get to do that twice. It just makes it much easier to see. It's easier to break down what everything you're doing is, and it does most of the math for you. So if you're not good at doing math on the fly, it's all right there for you to look at. So it makes it much, much easier to work with.
But, you know, I'm sure there's some traditionalists out there that still want to use pen and paper. You can certainly do that, because this also lets you export your character sheet and then, you know, do it the traditional way, which is kind of cool, too.
Yeah, I've been doing like a combination of the two. I did start to make like spreadsheets for, because I was writing down all the encounters, and I found that when we were doing our first little prequel arc, like I would every single encounter I forgot to roll for Juan, like I forgot to add him into the fight, or I would my little scribble, I couldn't tell if I wrote Devin or Dale there, so I had the wrong and go at the wrong time. So I'm like, well, I gotta make this part digital for me as well.
They certainly called you out on it too. So
no, and that's good. They needed to. I needed to be called out when I'm wrong. But like, I made like a giant spreadsheet for encounters with every, and I like kept forgetting what people's AC was and all this other stuff. So I made a big old spreadsheet with everybody's name on it that you might fight, that I'm aware of that you might fight. You can fight whoever you want, but like, these are the people that I know that you're probably going to fight. All their ACs are laid out. And then I made another column where it automatically makes the turn order based on what I put in for their initiative roll. So I just I just excelled the crap out of D&D.
Nice.
And I'm very excited to get to use that, because it's going to make my life significantly easier.
Yeah. You also got us all nice sets of dice, so that's part of the reason why I feel obligated to keep playing.
Yeah, man, I feel some dice.
When people get us, you know, give me presents, I have to do it. So, like, that's why I went to see Transformers 5 in theaters, because Devin gave me a Transformer toy. So, and God, I can honestly say I am enjoying this more than Transformers 5. That's not saying much, though.
I was about to say, Sam, I know you're not in it anymore.
All right. So, I mean, overall, I think it's a good experience. We're obviously going to keep doing it because critical failure so far has been pretty fun. All right. So, we're going to continue playing the game. And I encourage, if anybody has suggestions for us, or, well, first I should ask, was there anything else you wanted to discuss on this before?
No. I was actually going to suggest wrapping up, but the only thing I will say before we kind of get into it, so similar to what the Adventure Zone does, if you know folks who are out there listening and they do want to be a part of it, you know, if you have recommendation, not recommendations, if you have suggestions for, you know, homebrew items, or you want to be an NPC in the show, or something like that, please tweet either at me directly at Uncommon Soap or at the show, Crit Failure Cast, and ask to be a part of it. If you want to email an item over to me, then it's CritFailureCast@gmail. But yeah, if you want to be a part of the show, because as much, you know, and number one, if people request to be in it or give us stuff, that's a good indicator, you know, how engaged people are beyond going and looking at the statistics on Podomatic and on SoundCloud. But it's also, you know, I don't have grand plans or anything like that, but if we can carve out our own little community on this, that'd be super cool. I'd be all about that. So yeah, so please let me know if you want to be part of the show. And that's that.
Yeah, we like feedback, so you could also, give the show's a iTunes review. That'd be cool too.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
So overall, D&D was a good experience. We're gonna continue to play it. You can check out the show at Crit Failure. Crit Failure. That's what it is on Twitter.
It's a Crit Failure Cast.
Yeah. For this show, we're just using the regular Board with Friends information. So BORD, Board with Friends Prime. So if you have any suggestions for this off-topic show, Board with Friends, BORED, contact us at that information, BORD. just to add to the confusion here, I really stuck with the pun. But you can certainly, we're always looking for topics for this show. If you want to challenge us to read some book, watch some movie, and you want to hear our opinions on it, play some game, I guess I'll play video games. I'd certainly like to hear from people. So yeah, let us know. Anything else you want to plug, Sean?
No, man, that's it. I'm excited, and then we got to you'll definitely be playing the more topics that we do on this, you'll definitely have to play some video games.
I know. I'm not against video games. I know I sound like I am. I've grown apart from them. I don't want to say out of them because I do like video games. I bought an SNES Classic. I mean, that's getting back into it,
Oh yeah, I'm sucking you back in, baby. It's gonna happen.
right? All right. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this show, why not check out some of our other projects on the And All the Nerdy Fun Network, like Board with Friends, BORD, where we review board games and talk about everything hobby game related. Or check out our RPG show, Critical Failure, run by Sean. Critical Failure is a show about people who want to learn how to play an RPG, but have never played one before in their lives. While you're at it, drop us some feedback at boardwithfriends42@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at boardwithfriend. If you have suggestions for the show, hit us up on there too. We'd love to get topics for the Board with Friends show, things that we haven't tried yet, things that you think we might be interested in. And finally, if you got a moment, why not throw us an iTunes review? Always helpful just to get those stats up there. Anyway, thanks for listening.